It's time for Packers preview again. Talking about the pack on KFAN. The Super Bowl, we're gonna win again. According to your host, David Sinekin, we'll win on the road. We'll win at home. We'll even win in
U.S. Bank Stadium.
Mike's fans can call if you've got the balls. The Packers preview show. And now, the Fan Radio Network is only somewhat proud to present year number 22 of Packer Preview. Packer Preview is brought to you by Hudson Ford, Park Tavern, St. Croix Casino, West Bend Mutual Insurance, Maury's 394 Hyundai, and Midwest Leaf Guard. Now, here's the cheesehead, the head cheese himself, Dave Sinekin.
Well, good morning, Packer fans, and welcome to the Week 15 edition of Packer Preview. I'm the sports leader and the home of the Vikings, the Fan Radio Network, iHeartRadio. Great to be with you bright and early on a Sunday morning as we get set for Packer football. And how excited are we that on this day we get to watch our favorite quarterback return to the field, Aaron Rodgers, back from the broken collarbone. We all hoped and maybe even prayed a little bit that he would heal and the Packers would stay in the race and we could have some fun in December. Well, the fun might last for 60 minutes at Bank of America Field in Charlotte, North Carolina, or it might last well beyond. But we'll take what we can get. We get number 12 back on the field. That gives the Packers a chance today against a very tough Carolina Panther team. Brett Hundley did just enough to keep this team in the hunt at 7-6. Man, one more win. Just give me the Ravens game back or the Lions game back, or how about that Steelers game back that was right there for the taking. 8-5 right now, little wiggle room, chance to stub your toe, knock the rust off today would be ideal, but alas, it was not to be. Packers 7-6, no wiggle room, got to win these last three. To me, this is the toughest game left on the slate at Carolina, a 9-4 team, tied atop the NFC South with everything to play for as they're chasing a division title, and the ever-dangerous Cam Newton, who is more dangerous with his legs these days than with his arm. And their three-headed rushing attack will be a lot for the Packers' defense to handle. The fortunate thing is the Packers may have enough firepower to keep up with the Panthers on the scoreboard with the return of number 12, who talked earlier this week about his health. Is he concerned at all that those 13 screws in that plate in his right clavicle are going to do the job and keep him healthy after today's game?
Well, I don't know. I mean, you have to play. I wouldn't be playing if I didn't feel confident playing the way that I played my entire career. So that game helped back in 2013, knowing what I can do and absorb. But, you know, it's not worth it unless you're going to go out there and play confidently.
Yeah, we can duplicate what happened that day when he returned in 2013. I think we'd all take it, though we'd have our blood pressure raised for about 3 hours. Remember, he did throw two interceptions early in that game, including one in the end zone against the Chicago Bears. The Bears led for much of that game. Packers fight back, and on fourth down late in the game, he hits Randall Cobb for the touchdown. If you recall that play, and I'm sure you do, Julius Peppers was charging hard off the right side, and John Kuhn chipped him just enough to slow him down and give Rodgers the time to hit Cobb. This will be the first time Julius Peppers gets a chance to hit Aaron Rodgers since that day. Of course, he joined the Packers after that game. He liked what he saw across the line, said, I like that quarterback. I could play with that. Joined the Pack, had three terrific years. Looking back, a big mistake letting him go. He'll turn 38 next week. He leads the Panthers, or tied with 9.5 sacks, and he will be looking to put Rodgers on the ground. And as I wrote at theheadcheese.com earlier this week, if you read my blog about this game, I'm not going to exhale, and I doubt any of us are going to exhale until Rodgers gets hit that first time and gets up and shakes it off. Maybe gives us that little wry smile. Maybe he grabs his shoulder and falls back down. We just don't know how he's going to react to the first hit. Obviously cleared by doctors. I know many Packer fans are concerned that, you know, why throw him out there? This is not a Super Bowl team. That's too much would have to go right. What's the point of putting Rodgers out there for three games? I've heard that over and over again this week. And my answer is simple. He's a football player. The medical teams have cleared him and said, you are healthy enough to play. And he's been throwing for a few weeks and feels great. And we don't know. You know, and nobody knows if he can withstand a big hit. But clearly, the worst that can happen is he gets re-injured and he's put on the shelf and he's got, what, 7-8 months to heal up. And this is not the kind of injury that takes anywhere near that long. It's not career-threatening. And from what I've heard, you know, that plate and those screws will stay in there until he retires from the NFL. That's going to stay there forever. So it's not like he's going to need a second surgery that he's putting off by playing football. That's not the way this works. He feels good. The medical team feels confident. He's the franchise. They're not going to do anything to hurt what could be the next 5, 6, dare I say 7 years of his career. Many of us look at him and say, you know, the hero riding in on the white horse to save the Packers season. That's not the way number 12 looks at it.
I'm just going to bring the energy and enthusiasm that I always do to practice. Obviously, I think there's an expectation of the way I play on Sunday and how I'm going to play. I enjoy those expectations. I enjoy meeting those or exceeding those. That's what it means to be a leader in this locker room and the quarterback of this team is going out and performing and doing your job. Hopefully it gives a lift to some of the guys. But, you know, I'm not coming back to save this team. I'm coming back to play quarterback the way I know how to play it. And hopefully we all raise the level of our play collectively and find a way to win these three games.
And that's ultimately what it's all about. I talked to Trent Tucker, who obviously played with Michael Jordan, Patrick Ewing, with Hall of Famers. He played in the NBA for over a decade. And I asked him, you know, when a generational type player, when the top player around rejoins a team after being gone, is it just a cliche to say he raises everybody's play around him? And he was adamant. He said, absolutely not. Everybody's focus goes up. Everybody knows the opportunity ahead, and everybody does play better. And you know what, guys and gals, they're going to need to today. They're going to need to all raise their play, because if we see the Packers team that played the last 2 weeks against Tampa Bay and Cleveland, I don't care how great Aaron Rodgers is, they're not going to beat a team like the Carolina Panthers with the talent they have on both sides of the football. Everybody needs to play better. It starts on the defensive side of the ball. They're going to need to try to slow down this rushing attack. And because if they're able to run for 200 yards like they have the last 3 weeks, that means they're controlling the clock. Rodgers is on the sidelines and whiling away the time trying to get back on the field. So everybody needs to raise their level of play with Rodgers back. And if they can, and they absolutely have a chance to knock off the Panthers today. It's the 15th game in this series. Packers are leading the all-time series 9-5. I was at the very first game between these two teams. Maybe some of you were too. NFC Championship, the year the Packers won their Brett Favre Super Bowl, knocking off, I believe it was Dom Capers and the Carolina Panthers at Lambeau Field. That was the first game back in 97, I guess that was, in January. Packers have won 6 of the last 9 between these two games and have scored at least 29 points the last 6 times they have played the Panthers. Other good news, Packers are 12-2 the last 14 games they have played in the month of December. So this is the Packers' time of year. They get their quarterback back. Will it take him a while to knock the rust off? You know, can the Packers afford to fall behind by 10 or 14 points and climb back into this one? Because it might be a slow start. That wouldn't shock anybody. By the way, should mention, when the Packers activated Aaron Rodgers off IR yesterday, they released Joe Callahan, the number 3 quarterback. So Packers have just Rodgers and Hundley on the active roster. That makes sense. Of course, if Rodgers can't finish the game and now you just have Hundley, he's one hit away from, I guess, Randall Cobb being your quarterback. But we're not gonna go there, are we? It's going to be very interesting to see how this offense operates with Rodgers back, because we've seen the rise of a really nice running attack with Jamal Williams really taking over the lead role. I still think Aaron Jones will make his presence felt, whether it's today or at some point the next 3 weeks or next season. Two really nice-looking young running backs that have faced Eight men in the box the last 8 weeks. Defenses that have not really worried about Brett Hundley in the passing attack. They've been looking to stop the running game. That will not be the case any longer, and there should be some nice running lanes for the Packers' two rookies. So I'm very curious to see how they're able to run the football against a very staunch Carolina rush defense, number three in the National Football League. Let's talk injuries. We know Rodgers is back. Devon House will miss this game, so the Packers are without really three of the top four corners that started the season. If you look at King and Rollins on IR and House out, he has a transverse fracture in his back, but believes he might be able to play against the Vikes next Saturday night. And the fact that they didn't IR House and they cut Callahan instead tells me that they might believe the same. Certainly the most banged up position on this roster, cornerback, will be challenged if House is out for a long time. This team, though, not terrific when it comes to their perimeter players. They have one really nice receiver in Devin Funchess. Demarius Randle will get that task. Randle did a nice job on Josh Gordon after Gordon exploded early. He ended up with 3 for 69, but I think two of those and most of those yards came in the first quarter, and a lot of zone coverage there when he got his plays. Look for Randle to take on Devin Funchess. Otherwise, Josh Hawkins will man the other spot, big spot for him. And as you know, when they're playing the dime, we've got a couple safeties playing cornerback in Morgan Burnett and Jermaine Whitehead. We'll see if Donatello Brown and Lindsey Pipkins, the two young corners, get a chance to play at all. But no Devon House today. He will miss this game for the Pack. Questionable, Nick Perry and Jake Ryan. Be very, very curious to see if those guys go when the inactives come out 90 minutes before kickoff. I'll be focused on Twitter to see the Packers list to see if Nick Perry and Jake Ryan play. Both are hugely important in a game like this. Ryan certainly to stop the run. Perry to try to get some semblance of pass rush. Clay Matthews has a tough matchup today. We'll talk about that. So Perry and Ryan, two questionable players that Packers certainly could use desperately in a game like this. And right tackle Jason Spriggs with a hip is questionable. I'm hearing that he should go today. So that'll also be very important against a terrific front four. This Carolina front seven, the next two front sevens the Packers play, Panthers and Vikes, the best two in the NFC as far as I'm concerned. So big challenges for the Packers offensive line, a line that's given up 43 sacks this season. I don't put that all on the line. I put that a lot on Brett Hundley, you know, not the quickest decision maker, you know, first time really playing significant action, and he hung onto the ball a bit longer than he should have for many of those sacks. So we'll call it a draw between the line and the young quarterback. So some injuries for the Packers that we'll be watching at 10:30 to see if they're able to go. For the Panthers, a couple of significant injuries as well today. They're without their very talented right guard, Trey Turner. He is out with a concussion. They will have something called Amini Silatolu stepping in to face Mike Daniels. That appears to be a check mark on the Packers' side of this matchup, so no Trey Turner. And their very talented linebacker slash safety, Shaq Thompson, will miss this game as well. So Packers missing some players, as are the Panthers. I talked about Devin Funchess, their receiver out of Michigan. He's questionable with a shoulder injury, but by all accounts, he will be able to play today. So, got about 40, 45 minutes left. We've already heard from Aaron Rodgers. We will hear from Joe.
And green, remember that, just in case we have face-to-face mass contact. And the man on deep, that's Red G, one of the guys quarterbacks hope they don't see. So don't think you'll beat the Packers, you're wrong. Antonio's behind you, boy, the man is gone. Leafy Lambo's never silent, getting ready to jam on all NFC bodies.
All right, we are back, 7:19 on a Sunday morning. Thanks for getting up early or finding our podcast on iHeartRadio. This is Packer Preview on the Fan. We're getting set for Packers and Panthers, a noon kickoff, and you know Rodgers is back when you see your announcers today are Joe Buck and Troy Aikman and the number one Fox team. It's a CBS doubleheader day because the game of the day is late. For most of the country, the game of the day is late. Steelers and Patriots are late, as is Rams Seahawks, which, if Green Bay can surprise the Panthers and keep this unlikely playoff run alive, we will become big Rams fans. If the Rams can knock off Seattle, which I believe they are going to do, it will go a long way to clearing the way for the Packers to secure a spot if they are able to win these last three games. Of course, it's no easy task. It's about as tough as the final three games as you'll find. Road games in Carolina and Detroit, and the home game next Saturday night against the Vikings, which reminds me, since the Packers play next week on Saturday night, our program will be Packer Review next Sunday morning, which means Dave doesn't have to do any prep work. Dave can just watch the game and chat about it on Sunday morning. So Packer Review, reviewing Packers Vikes, which I'll read a quick email from Gail Gillingham, guy Triple G, who asked a question that I've been thinking about all week, and I'm guessing many of you have as well. He asks, David, if the Packers lose today and Rodgers makes it through unscathed, do you keep playing him the last two games? Because, let's face it, if the Packers lose to Carolina today, which is expected, though just a three-point spread, it's really considered a toss-up on a neutral field, the way the Vegas guys look at these kind of games. Packers will be, I don't think they'll be mathematically eliminated, but they would need about 77 things to happen exactly correctly to earn a spot at 9-7. For all intents and purposes, a seventh loss does knock the Packers out of the playoffs, and the season would effectively be over. Would you play Rodgers? If you're out of the playoffs and you've got two games left against division teams, I believe he would absolutely play. I mean, look at the next game. You've got your bitter rival, the Vikings, the team that knocked Rodgers out with the injury. You know, they didn't try to injure him, I don't believe, but they injured him. And so it'll mean a lot to Rodgers to face those guys again. And obviously, we don't know this well. The Vikings and their fans know this side of the fence a lot better. But having to play that spoiler role, I want to play that spoiler role. I want to send the Vikings to a defeat and take away their chance at the number one seed, or maybe even the number two. Although I think they're in pretty good shape for a top two seed. They own tiebreakers over the Saints and the Falcons, who I think are going to compete for that division. And the Eagles are still going to be tough to catch. Their schedule, even without Carson Wentz, is pretty light. So I think it may not even matter if they lose one more. But I certainly want to give him another loss if we can, and we have a much better chance if Rodgers plays. I don't see why you don't play him. He'll want to play. The Packers are going to keep winning. They're going to want to have a winning season and try to finish 9-7. So I do think a loss today and Rodgers feels fine, he would play again next Saturday night. We have lots to get to, talking about what the Panthers do on both sides of the football, but let's first get to the Packer lines. A number of you have been kind enough to hold since the show started. So we'll do this. We'll take him in the order we got him, which means we start with our good friend Dave down in Shakopee. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Hedges. How are you?
I am doing well. How are you feeling about Packer football today? Excited?
I'm excited. You know, before we've had, I think in the Rodgers era, what, four times where we thought the Packers were doomed. You know, last year he gave the speech and they won it. I think my favorite year was 2003 when the Vikings could have needed to beat the Cardinals, and Nate Poole came through for us.
So. Yeah, and I remember that so well because I knew so many, I don't know if you were at the Packer game that day, but so many Packer fans were watching the game, but also turned around trying to catch screens up in the suites to catch the end of that Vikings-Cardinals game and see if maybe Nathan Poole could create some memories and knock the Vikes out of the playoffs. That was a very memorable day for sure.
Yep. No, you know, Rodgers.
Thank you, Ryan. I was hoping you'd find that.
Rodgers has pulled his magic before. It's going to be tough, but you know, I'm a believer. I'm going to go with the Pack until I'm told they are no longer in the playoffs.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things where conventional wisdom, you look at the matchup, it doesn't favor Green Bay at all. You know, the Carolina defense is so good. Cam Newton with those legs, Stewart, McCaffrey. Everything does point to a matchup that favors Carolina, but we've watched Rodgers play for too long. It might be too much to ask playing a team like this first time out, but he's proven us wrong and surprised us for so many years that it is hard to bet against him right now.
It sure is. I mean, it looks like the organization took their time and decided they were going to come back. You know, they didn't make the announcement right away. It was almost a couple days if he was going to come back. I think we all knew he was going to come back, but I'll be watching the game today with Dave from Maple Grove, and we're going to pull it a win. At the same time, watching the Bungles actually win a game.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to see that today. I don't think so.
The Kool-Aid started early.
Yeah, apparently so. Enjoy the game, and I'm guessing the Daves will be watching the game at Park Tavern today. Our sponsor for all these years. We love having the Park Tavern as our sponsor. We appreciate that so much. And when a game is not locally televised, as today's is not, we do suggest, if you're in the neighborhood, to head to the Park Tavern in St. Louis Park. Terrific place. It's just wall-to-wall Packer fans at the 11th frame bar, back past the bowling alley. Free shots whenever the Packers score. Every screen in that giant room will be Packers games. The Packers game will be on every screen, and the fans will be wall-to-wall. So a great place to watch. If you can't watch it at home, we do suggest you give that place a shot. Next up, our good friend, old Southside guy. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, Davey, good morning. Nice to hear you.
Thanks.
Davey, first of all, I'd like to put a shout-out for 1265 Lombardi guy. He stopped over and saw me at a Timberwolf game last week. It was nice to meet him. He's always a great contributor to this site.
Awesome. You know, I love the fact that you're the usher at my section at Wolves games, too. It was nice to see you on Thursday as well.
Yeah, tough loss yesterday, but that's another sport.
Correct.
Hey, on to this sport. Maybe the last five games, Carolina's averaged about 194 yards rushing. So really the key to this game, and it's going to be a lot of pressure on our defense, is to stop that rushing attack and make Newton throw the ball up, because he will give it up. It'd be interesting to see if we put a so-called spy on Newton, and that's going to have to be a good tackler, and I think our best tackler is Blake Martinez. So we'll be interested to see if maybe that's a one-on-one matchup.
Yeah, I do think that'll be Martinez's task today, is to spy on Cam Newton. He is deadly. We saw what he did to the Vikes last week and really strike them down with a 60-something yard run late in that game to win the game. And that read option is deadly. He's so good at it. And I do think it's going to be up to Martinez to really be disciplined, stay in his lane, keep an eye on him. And he's going to get his yards, but just let's not break the long one, because that can break your back. It's what makes them so dangerous. He is a freak of nature at, 6'5", 6'6", 260. He's built like a linebacker. He runs like a receiver. He's a special talent, mostly with his legs. We'll talk about his stats. He's been struggling as a passer, so if we can get him into second and long, third and long, it's going to make things more difficult. But I do believe Blake Martinez will be the guy to prevent any big plays from breaking our backs today.
Yeah, and on the offensive side of the ball, I think we're going to have to see Jordy involved a lot more. He was really non-existent in the Hundley era, and I'm sure he is probably one of the happiest people in the world to have number 12 back.
Yeah, and thanks, Old Southside. Appreciate the call. That takes me nicely, and we'll talk to you next week. That takes me nicely into where I was going next. Jordy Nelson has been prominent only on a milk carton the last 8 weeks. He just has not developed any chemistry with Brett Hundley. We forget that the 4 weeks with Aaron Rodgers, 4 or 5 weeks, I guess it was five games. Packers were 4-1 before the Viking game. 22 catches, 153 yards, 6 touchdowns. So he wasn't getting a ton of yards, but he was getting 5-plus catches a game and over a touchdown a game. He had as many catches, 22, in the 7 games without Aaron Rodgers. It's just been a real struggle. I do believe, and Rodgers made mention this week, I believe 87 still has some juice left. We're going to find out. I think they are going to find very favorable matchups in the Panthers secondary, which is the weakness of that defensive unit. I think the Packers will look early and often at Jordy Nelson today. But he knows it's not just number 12 back. We can all just relax. Everybody has to raise their game in order to get a big, much-needed win today.
Absolutely. I mean, and that's what I think the focus of the team needs to be on. It's not now that he's back that everyone can take a deep breath and relax and go try to play a football game. I mean, we still, it's pretty much just like last year. We got to win out. And even, I think I saw something the other day, even if we do win out, it's only an 86% chance that we still get in. So we need to do our part, and that's all you can worry about. And it's starting this week. So it helps, but it definitely is not going to make it easy.
No, it won't, but it would be great to have 87 back as a part of this offense. Same with Randall Cobb. Devontae Adams has really carried the offense, and he's still a huge factor and will get a lot of their attention. But having Rodgers back means he can find whoever has the most advantageous matchup, and I think there'll be those there as long as he has some time to throw the football today. The Carolina defense, as I said, led by Julius Peppers and Mario Addison. They both have 9.5 sacks along that front line. Kawan Short, the nose tackle, really the leader of that front four. He is terrific. He has 6 sacks as well. Great run stopper. A big challenge for Corey Linsley and those guards to try to clear some way. Kawan Short, a lot like Mike Daniels, a short nose tackle, a former Big Ten player. Short played at Purdue, Daniels at Iowa. He's a terrific player, and they are very good up front, and they have 2 fantastic linebackers right behind him. Luke Kuechly, the perennial leader in tackles when he's not injured. He's had a lot of concussion issues. When he's on the football field, that place goes nuts. You'll hear the Kuechly chants whenever he makes a tackle. And the old veteran, Thomas Davis, still has some juice, too. 2 very talented linebackers. It's a terrific defense. Number 5 in yards, number 10 in points, 3rd against the run. They're very good. But they've also feasted on a lot of really bad quarterbacks this year. And if Rodgers looks anything like Rodgers, Green Bay will be able to score points and will be able to move up and down the field. It's whether the Packers can get the ball enough, because Carolina has the ability to put long drives together with a great running attack. In the next segment, we will talk about the Panthers' offense.
And now, go, hush up.
Already. All right. Packer preview returns. Final segment this edition as we get you set for Packers Panthers noon kickoff. The return of Aaron Rodgers, the big story for this one, obviously, as the Pack looks to surprise Carolina and keep their flickering playoff hopes alive today and get set for a short week. And the Vikings at Lambeau next Saturday night for a Christmas weekend lid lifter. Hey, it's all about stopping Cam Newton today. We can talk all we want about Rodgers. I think it might be a slow start. Green Bay's been very good opening drive. You know, McCarthy's one of the best at scripting those first 10, 15 plays. Packers have scored on their first possession as much as anybody in the league this year. I don't know that that will be the case today, or should we expect it. It might take a couple series for Rodgers to get his bearings, and hopefully he'll feel okay after that first hit. It's up to the defense to keep this team in it today, and Mike Daniels knows that begins and ends with stopping Cam Newton.
Just got to get after him. Plain and simple. If you don't get after him, then he'll be dancing all up and down the field. You know, we can't have that. He can do it all. That's a big dude. He's humongous. So we just got to make sure we get our pads on him.
Yeah, and I heard Daniels talking earlier this week, too, say you got to hit him. You got to hit him hard early. That really shakes his confidence. He does not love that. So let's see if a Green Bay can get a helmet in there and knock him down a couple times. One thing that bugs me about Cam Newton when you watch him play, and I hate to bring this up because now you're all going to pay attention to it and it's going to bother you too. He gets under center or in the shotgun, and you know how you hear like Rodgers will go 319, or you'll hear the Denver quarterbacks go Omaha. Newton always goes, ready. And it drives me crazy. It's so loud and so pronounced. I don't know why it bugs me. It bugs me, and now it's likely to bug you too. So I'm sorry in advance. Thanks, Ryan. It's a supreme challenge, though, to stop the running attack of the Carolina Panthers. Southside mentioned it. 200 yards a game the last 3 weeks, and they're averaging that over the last 5. Newton with the read option is so dangerous. Jonathan Stewart, who is up there in age and can't seem to stay healthy, but he's a banger between the tackles. He gashed the Vikes last week for a big touchdown run early, 60-plus yards. He is still a dangerous weapon in that running game. And then there's Christian McCaffrey, the rookie that, remember back around draft time, early in the draft process, a lot of mock drafts had McCaffrey falling to the Pack. He went 8th to Carolina. He's a terrific weapon, kind of a Swiss Army knife type of player who hasn't gotten a ton of carries, more of a third down type of weapon, but is so dangerous out of the backfield as a receiver. That's been a real problem for the Packers defense all season. Look, if Peyton Barber and Isaiah Crowell can have big days against Green Bay's defense as they have the last 2 weeks, well, then the Carolina rushing offense should have no problem running on Green Bay, and I think they will run on the Packers today. That's why, of all those questionable players, I love Nick Perry, and he's a big part of pass rush. And in most matchups, give me the choice between Perry and Jake Ryan. I'd rather have Perry on the field. Today, I want Jake Ryan on the field. We need as many tacklers as possible against a team that's going to try to run the football, because this team is really struggling through the air. As dangerous as Cam is, running the football. He has not been good throwing the football. He's the 34th ranked quarterback. That's right, 34th ranked quarterback when it comes to passer rating at just 81.9, completing just 60% of his passes, averaging about 209 yards a game, 17 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. So they traded their number one receiving weapon in Kelvin Benjamin early in the year. Greg Olsen, their terrific tight end, will play today, second game back off the foot injury. He had exactly one target against the Vikes. Now, unless they were saving him, and he's totally healthy today and is going to be a big part of that offense because, hey, we go back years with Greg Olsen with the Bears. He's always had big games against the Pack. I don't think he's physically ready to do that. So throwing the football, a problem for this Packers D, you know, dealing with really good quarterbacks, that's not the issue today. Today it's defending the run, trying to put them in long down and distance so they have to throw the football, second and long, third and long, get off the field on third down, and let Rodgers do his thing. That will tell the tale. If Carolina's running up and down the field and chewing up the clock, the Packers will be very hard-pressed to get a victory today. All right, let's get to the Packer lines. Appreciate you guys holding. Let's head up to Maple Grove. Dave, good morning. How you doing?
Great. Thanks, Dave. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Can't wait for the game.
Yeah, you and me both. Can't wait for the W.
Oh, man. Let's see. I hope so. That's for sure. I hope so.
Okay. One thing I picked up on last week's game, and to bring it this week, is one thing I was really thrilled about is last week, our offense ran 74 plays.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Cleveland ran 55. We run 74 plays. We're hard to stop, especially with 12 back.
Yeah, agreed. I don't think we'll get to 74 today because I do think Carolina is going to be able to run the ball and you know, have long drives, assuming they don't break big plays. But, yeah, that's true. If we get 70 plays plus with Aaron Rodgers at quarterback, we'll have a good chance to win today for sure.
Yeah, that's pretty much a lock, I would almost think. Speaking of, to take that to next step, it's Cleveland was daring us to pass last week. Carolina is not going to do that. What's our ideal pass-run mix? I would almost think 50-50 today, Dave.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because with Rodgers, the Packers were running 34% of the time. And with Hundley, they were running about 44% of the time. I think it's going to be somewhere in between there. I think 60-40 pass. I still think the way this Carolina defense is set, they are so good against the run that if you can get some success early, that will allow play action to do its thing. But I think with Rodgers back, a 60-40 pass run mix is ideal. You want the ball in Rodgers' hands. You want him finding open receivers. They're not good on the back end. You know, remember, they got rid of Josh Norman before the 2016 season. They drafted two cornerbacks in 2016, I think in the second and sixth round. Those guys are starting now, something called James Bradbury and Daryl Worley. They still have Captain Munnerlyn. They have Ladarius Gunter down their depth chart. He actually would look good in a Packers uniform. We could use him right now at corner. But they're not very good at cornerback. And what Rodgers is so great at is exposing the matchup that he thinks works to his advantage. And I think with Adams and Nelson and Cobb, one of those guys at least will have a very good matchup throughout the day. And I think they'll end up throwing more than they run today. And if Rodgers is Rodgers, that's a good thing.
Yeah, it really is. Well, after hours of analysis and hours of breaking down, I've come up with 34-31. It's a W. We're winning this thing. I agree with Dave from Shakopee. Cincinnati's going to shock it. This NFC North title is still up for grabs, baby.
All right, Dave, thank you. What a storyline that would be, right? Vikes lose, Packers win, and now suddenly if you beat the Vikes, the division's on the line for Week 17. Sorry, I don't see it. Bengals have no Vontaze Burfict, no Drake Kirkpatrick, no Joe Mixon. They had about as bad a loss as any team will ever have last week, coming off the Steelers Monday night game, getting blown out by the Bears at home. Now they come up to play Zim, who coached with Marvin Lewis for 6 years, and the players know it and want to make sure that their coach takes care of his former head coach. No, I think the Vikes handle the Bengals easily today, and they'll win the North as they deserve to. They've been the better team, obviously, from start to finish. So, no, I would be beyond stunned if the Bengals trip up the Vikes today. I do not see that, especially the Vikes coming off a loss. They'll be focused. Sounds like Kyle Rudolph's going to play, even though he's doubtful on the injury report. Saw reports this morning that Kyle Rudolph is expected to start for the Vikes today. 1265, Lombardi Guy, good morning.
Good morning, sir. Thanks for the shout-out, Old Southside Guy. Great seeing you on Tuesday. Like you said, Dave, the Wolves are a whole other story.
Ugly loss last night. That's just inexcusable.
just an ugly week. You play two teams that turn over the ball more than 20 times and you can't win it.
Yep.
But
yep.
Moving on. So I think you covered everything that I was going to talk about, but a couple of small nuggets. One is Cam Newton has a tendency to fumble the ball when he's carrying it. Three fumbles this year already. He averages right around that number per season. So might be an opportunity that he gives up a couple of Christmas gifts to the Packer defense, who are obviously going to load the box, force him to throw the football downfield to try and beat us. And then I think the one thing with Rodgers being back is you saw somewhat of a limited playbook, but it expanded as Brett got more games under his belt. Now with Rodgers back, you have so much more flexibility in allowing him at the line to change with what he sees and put the Packers in good position.
Yeah, both great points. Thanks for the call, 1265. You always seem to hit on a couple things that I have kind of late on my sheet here to get to. Rodgers' ability at the line to make calls is obviously what all great veteran quarterbacks can do, and something that McCarthy certainly wouldn't allow Hundley to do, and he wasn't ready to do, and understandably so. Rodgers is as good as it gets at diagnosing what he sees and making sure he's putting his offensive team at the best possible advantage. That's true. And turnovers also a key storyline today. Packers have been very good at taking the ball away. They're plus 7 for the season. Carolina minus 4. You're going to need a couple to go your way today. This is the kind of day where a couple turnovers could swing this game. I expect this game to be competitive into the fourth quarter. I do think Green Bay is going to be playing from behind today. The question is, can Aaron make the big play late to deliver the unlikely victory? And that's what it's going to come down to. We talked about the Panthers' offense, and not great weapons on the outside, on the perimeter, losing Benjamin. The Funchess is certainly good, and Randall, I think, will be assigned to him, and I think Ha-Ha Clinton-Dix will also be assigned to keep an eye on Devin Funchess. He's certainly the biggest playmaker on the passing attack for the Panthers. Clinton-Dix talked about the offensive playmakers that he and his defensive cohorts will be facing today.
Yeah, I think they have a great set of weapons from the run game to the passing game, and we just got to be able to stop one of them, contain them to throwing a ball or running it, whatever we stop first, and just hold them to that. And I think we have a great chance of doing that this week.
Yeah, he and Josh Jones will be tasked at making sure nobody gets behind him. Jones was the third highest rated safety last week. He had a terrific game, and he'll be asked to play a lot of snaps today with Burnett and Whitehead being asked to play some corner in nickel and dime situations. And again, it can't overstate how important it is to play well on first down, because if they're facing second and two and second and three all day, that plays right into what they want to do. But if they're second and long, third and long, now it's up to Cam to make a play with his arm, most likely, and that's not something they've been great at. So first down, so important today. Try to get that little edge the defense needs, because let's face it, they're overmatched against the running attack the Panthers will present today. One final call. I haven't heard from Packer Paul for a while. Good to hear from him. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning, Dave. Just want to, first of all, wish you and yours a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year's, and also to Packer Nation.
Right back at you. Thanks.
Wanted to chime in about Newton. I know what you mean when he goes, it sounds like my cold what I've got right now. It is obnoxious. I don't know if I hate Cam worse than I do Joe Buck and Troy Aikman, but I was just concerned about somebody putting a spy on him. I think Capers is, after 30-some-odd years in the business, knows that this guy's a running quarterback and he's a threat. And I hope with Clay's play recently, which has been great, Matthews is on him. And just really quick, I just like to say that all I want for Christmas is a Packer win next week at Lambeau. Go Pack. Happy New Year, Dave.
Yeah, same to you, Packer Paul, for sure. That'll be fun next week. It'll be a lot more fun if the Packers can somehow get a win today and keep their playoff hopes alive. So it's not just, let's spoil the Vikings' plans, let's keep our own hopes alive. A couple matchups to watch today. I mentioned this name earlier, Amini Silatolu. He's the right guard who will start for the injured Trey Turner today. Mike Daniels should have an advantage over him. Daniels can be disruptive, and he needs to be today to knock Jonathan Stewart down on early downs. Talked about getting into second, third, and long. Daniels will have a nice matchup with Silatolu, and if he and Kenny Clark can be disruptive enough to stop that running game, that'll go a long way in getting that defense off the field, letting Rodgers do his thing. And then tough matchup for Clay Matthews today, who I didn't think had a great game last week, but obviously made the play of the day in overtime, getting around, getting that hand in onto Deshaun Kizer's arm and forcing the interception, which turned the game in overtime and allowed Davante Adams to work his magic. Clay gets Darrell Williams, the right tackle for the Panthers. He's the number two ranked right tackle by Pro Football Focus. He's had a terrific year for Carolina. And I'm going to be watching Matthews, especially if Nick Perry doesn't go, and he's questionable. Again, watch the inactive list at 10:30, and we'll see if Perry and Ryan and Spriggs are all able to go today. If Perry doesn't go, they can even put some extra help on Clay Matthews if they feel they need it. They may not think so because Williams has been so good. But let's see if Matthews is able to wreak some havoc against a really good right tackle. That's a tough matchup for him today. Yeah, I didn't mention Carolina. News broke the last couple days. Their owner, Jerry Richardson, is being investigated over alleged workplace misconduct. And that doesn't sound good, and we'll see where that goes. I don't know if that affects anything on the field, but it's got to be in the players' heads a little bit. Maybe they've known there's been some things, and now suddenly there's some investigations going on. Just something to throw out there, something that the Panthers organization's dealing with this week. I doubt it impacts too much what we see on the field today, but it is what's going on in Carolina. It's a story and something to pay attention to. So, final moments. Well, we're all excited just to have Aaron Rodgers back on the football field. We know how blessed we've been over these last 25 years. 400 regular season games, and we've seen Hall of Fame quarterback play in all but about 15 of them. Favre never missed a start. Aaron's now missed a couple of 7 or 8 game stretches. It's not fun, is it? We know how happy and blessed we are to have those guys. I know it infuriates Viking fans that Green Bay's had the what they've had at quarterback, but you know, we go back to that 05 draft. You had 2 shots to draft Rodgers. You passed. You can't have sour grapes. Sorry, he fell into our laps, and McCarthy turned him into what he has become, and he has become as good a quarterback as this generation has seen, and he's back on the field today. How long will it take him to knock off the rust?